On Sunday, January 1st at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl will feature producer and CTI Records president, Cree Taylor. This exchange originally aired in June 2007 as part of the fifth hip-hop takeover. Because of the often sampled CTI Records catalog, there will be strings. That's Sunday, January 1st at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Just for you, for Sugar in My Bowl, so stay tuned. My name's Joyce Jones, and I'm here with...
Cree Taylor.
The great Cree Taylor, as far as I'm concerned.
That's very nice.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Mr. Taylor, in case some of us have been under a rock for many years.
Well, I've been through jazz in many different shapes and forms. When you called me, you had referred to the New York Times article of 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
Which was relating the records that I produce to the hip-hop world at that time. It still is being sampled.
Definitely.
Specifically, we had a label. It was a CTI label. It was called Kudu. And the label's Kudu because it was a species of African antelopes. And Kudu was largely aimed at R&B.
Right. It was heavily more R&B than CTI was.
Yeah, and Grover Washington was the biggest selling artist that we had, with Mr. Magic specifically. Had a huge hit, R&B crossover to pop in Mr. Magic.
Right.
Can I tell you the way that happened?
Please.
Well, the rhythm section for Roberta Flack had just been recording in the city, and we were recording at Rudy Van Gelder's in New Jersey. So they all came in well rehearsed to do a track for Mr. Magic. And the real ticket there, I have to say, was Eric Gale guitar and Harvey Mason on drums. It was Gary King on bass and Bob James on piano. He was also the arranger. And it had a tricky little beat that was, call it R&B, call it whatever you want to call it, but you could dance to it. And it was so well rehearsed. Even though it was so well rehearsed, that rhythm group played for 2 to 3 hours before it really locked into what became Mr. Magic.
Wow.
It sounds so easy, and of course I say they were rehearsed. They all do the chart, but the groove wasn't there.
Oh.
And that's one thing that is certainly in common with hip-hop producers and the records. The groove is number one, no matter what. That's what we always went for, a groove. it took that long to get this thing going. And then I don't know how many times it's been sampled by different kind of, like, vocal groups, soloists, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Mr. Magic, which certainly was a Mr. Magic with Grover, I'll tell you that.
Can you get? Now my activity is cosmotivity. Immortal is my soul, my God, my reality. I'm not measured by tradition or any type of religion. Not even cosmic dimensions and such. But many fools, they try to post the duel, try to post the front, but they know it ain't cool. Yeah, boy, my mind goes back to things just like the cosmic battle. When soul was my rattle, shield was my bib, best sarcophagus my crib. Not measured by my words, but the deeds that I did for God. A logical God, I was created and formed. Shogun, yes, the cosmic storm. Whose goals and lyrics to bust? I roll them up with it by pirates, funk sealed and guard me trust. I laid it down from circumference to dry space. And now I'm back again, quite lyrical to kick my bass. Energized by another plane. My logical fanatic will try to examine my brain. They can't beat
Let's
me.
Look at Dr. Dre for a minute. He sampled something. I think, was it called a chronic?
Yes.
He sampled something that Johnny Hammond, the Hammond B3 organ player, did. It was called Big Sur Suite. That is, Ron Carter, the bass player, played a little line. Mm-hmm. It was like maybe a two-bar phrase that was the main thing that Dr. Dre hooked on to do. Do you know the title?
Walking on the streets with my stupid face with a mask.
at the doors. Damn, this is the city of the beautiful vibe. But gotta be a gangster, and I'm a your game will move. So got a lot of motherfuckers trying to prove. So they homies, they can hang by dealing with me. But once again, in the end, that DEA. I never did time on a murder yet, cause I relaxed and back to a job and shit.
Oh, no, no, I know the title, okay. But I'm a white boy, you know, I want to sit here and
count them. With a gun.
Bleep with a gun, yes. Right. That album, I think, sold around 7 million copies.
Okay. From what I've read during my research, you were given a hassle about the direction that you were taking jazz and music and, you know, but jazz artists in particular at that time.
Oh, well, that the critics... That's what they get paid for, hassling me and other people. If they didn't have something to hassle, they would have nothing to write about.
Right.
Gil Evans made a statement out of the blue to me once, and he's been quoted since on the same statement. I don't play jazz. I don't write jazz. I write the music of the times.
Mm-hmm.
And what we were doing, as far as I'm concerned, was music of the times because we had these great players, great soloists, and they needed context to put their soloistic abilities into, not just the, you know, like a record with an 18-bar bass solo and nothing else happening. But we were definitely aiming, number one, at the R&B radio market because R&B has always been good to the jazz people.
Well, a lot of R&B artists came out of jazz, like James Brown, for instance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. James Brown. I say James Brown's architect was a guy named Dave Matthews,
mm-hmm.
who was a little guy. His father was a preacher. So, I mean, he certainly knew the blues and the gospel.
Right.
And he applied his James Brown formula to a lot of the stuff he was doing for me at the CTI and Kudu.
Mm-hmm.
Like Idris Muhammad, for instance, you know. He continues to be a drummer who stands out by himself.
Right.
Totally. He's from New Orleans, and it makes a difference. There's a very definite rhythmic thing with the drummers who come out of New Orleans.
You got the real McCoys in the house, the big kids. Calling all shots. So here's the resume for the day. Check it. It's time to turn the page, so check it out, y'all, check it out. 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 We'll hear some real tight grand booba with your singer. Give thumbs up, cause I'm glad I can bring up. Honey, clear your throat. Get it, sound dope. Well, here goes the skit, it's a kick around thing to the beach. That you wanna get lit. Brothers try to copy, but they just can't get it down right. This is how we move it tonight. So, honey, is you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
So, get the flavor, get the loot, and let's be jetty.
Oh, oh, oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
hey, check it. Well, I'll be if I do, if I don't. It's time to kick the flavor on the rear. You think I won't?
Hang it on.
Well, that's the truth. Now, how we do?
I get busy.
Hey, yo, hun, me too.
And there's nothing.
Cause that's the way we do.
So get ready.
Uh-huh.
Because you know the deal and what the deal is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let's get down with honey from uptown. When I'm done with this, I'll be around like James Brown. Ain't no thing. Honey, just
you
sing.
Know
Yo, chance.
Hardcore, rise the law, give me your more. And like I said before, beats to the rhyme, the name of this dance. D, that's me, and that's who I am. Rocking on the mic, cause you know I can. You gotta understand, I don't give a damn.
Stay here to play today, I must say. Hooray to the way that is A-OK. As he whacks the tax, all of these days play. With a little.
Thank you.
Then we had at CTI things like Freddie Hubbard's Red Clay, which had Joe Henderson, Herbie Hancock, Ron Carter, and Lenny White on it, which was straight-ahead contemporary pop music.
You came out of pop music, didn't you, after Bethlehem, when you went to ABC Paramount?
Oh, when I went to ABC Paramount, I was doing everything under the sun because of the political structure at the time, of the management. It was a brand-new label, and they didn't know from jazz. So I just walked in and said, I think you need me. I'm a good producer. And so I just started producing Soup to Nuts. I like all kinds of music anyway.
Okay.
And then we eased into Sing a Song of Basie. And that was the first real jazz thing at ABC Paramount.
Right.
And I have to tell you that I had a guy in management at ABC Paramount who looked out after me. His name was Harry Levine. And he was the manager for the Paramount Theater. And he booked all the acts in, like Harry James, Frank Sinatra, Benny Goodman, and, you know, all those guys. And he knew show business inside out. And he could take projects that I didn't have to run them by the top management. Mm-hmm. I'd just go to Harry and I'd say, look, I got this thing. It just sounds weird. So could you see what you could do for me?
Wow.
And so we continued that way. And then finally, we got up to the point where we signed Ray Charles.
Listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM in New York. This is Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. And you're listening to a discussion between myself and Creed Taylor, president and producer at CTI Records. And what we're listening to right now is Ray Charles from Genius Plus Soul Equals Jazz, One Mint Julep. And let's see, before that we heard Crab Apple from Idris Muhammad. Turn This Mother Out, released in 1977 on Kudu Records. Now, because of CTI and their cast of thousands that they have on the recordings, I'm not even going to have time to brush the surface, but that one included Idris Muhammad on drums, Michael Brecker on tenor saxophone, Hiram Bullock on guitar, Cliff Carter on keyboards, Wilbur Bascom on bass, and Jeremy Steig on flute. Before that, we heard Beats to the Rhyme, Run the DMC, Tougher Than Leather, 1988 Profile Records release. Before that, we heard Check It Out, featuring Mary J. Blige, Grand Poobah, from Reel to Reel, a 1992 Elektra Records release. Before that, we heard N-Word with a Gun, Dr. Dre, The Chronic, 1992 Death Row. Before that, we heard Big Sur Sweet, Johnny Hammond, Higher Ground, Hoodoo Records, 1973, arranged and conducted by Bob James, Johnny Hammond on organ, Bob James, electric piano, Ron Carter bass, Jack DeJohnette drums, and George Benson, guitar, Hank Crawford, alto saxophone. We got to get back to the exchange now. Stay tuned.
He was really signed to ABC Paramount to do pop stuff.
Right.
But I talked to Quincy, who's my very good friend. By the way, Quincy and I arrived in New York at the same time. He came from Chicago. I came from Virginia. And we got along famously.
Mm-hmm.
The first arrangements that he did for me were for Oscar Pettiford. I called Quincy and asked him if he would talk to Ray and see if we could get Ray to do this thing called Genius Plus Soul Equals Jazz, uh-huh. and that was the beginning of Impulse, really. So Quincy had done so much with the Basie band. He knew all the players, and certainly Basie, and we just borrowed Basie's band without Basie, and that backed up Ray Charles on the Hammond V3.
Right.
Put that Genius Plus Soul Equals Jazz aside, and then I did a Oliver Nelson, Booze and the Abstract Truth. And a K&JJ, which had Bill Evans and some other great guys on it. And, of course, the Oliver had Freddie Hubbard.
Right. Freddie Hubbard did the solo on Stolen Moments.
Oh, Stolen Moments was really the highlight of that.
Yeah, that's what Freddie says as well, that it was the highlight. It's like he was able to shine.
Oh, he did shine, didn't he? And then we did two other, K&JJ, Bill Evans, and...
That's K. Wending and J.J. Johnson.
Yeah. So we had four packages, and it was my intention to make them a double fold, a gatefold, it's right. called, and sheet lamination. So they looked great, and they had a common design theme for Impulse. So they would show up at the distributors. The distributor would put them on, ship them out to record dealers, and they would put those Impulse albums on the step down in front of the cash register, or just before you get the cash register. That's maybe oversimplifying it, but that's how we started Impulse. It worked. And it's like Gil Evans said, we were doing the music of the times, improvised pop music.
Right. Well, you also did, at CTI, you had a way of taking European classical music and sort of bringing it to the times as well.
Oh, yeah. We certainly had a very big record with Diodato, mm-hmm. also Sprach, Zarathustra.
Thank you.
actually wanted to back announce all of the stuff you've been hearing. And this would have been the perfect recording to do it with. But just so you know, sugarmybowl.org is up! Thank you, Hank Williams, my executive producer of Sugar in My Bowl. He worked on the website, and the archives are up there, and all sorts of good stuff, and a playlist of tonight's program. So whatever I don't blurt out, actually, you could go up there now. Read along. It's Sugar, S-U-G-A, in my bowl, .org. Sugar in my bowl at sugarinmybowl.org. My email address is sugarinmybowl@gmail.com. Sugar, S-U-G-A, in my bowl, @gmail.com. Hoorah! Yes, 2011, 2010, 2009 will be going up soon. But the playlist for tonight's program is up there now. So, sugarinmybowl.org.
that was during the Bossa Nova Samba era. That was a huge, it was a top five pop record.
Before you started CTI, you left Impulse and you went to Verve.
I went to Verve.
Why? I mean, Impulse was like...
Well, it was off and running,
off,
and I had this opportunity to go to a label like Verve, which had signed already Stan Getz, Oscar, and Johnny Hodges. So many good artists were on Verve, and I had disagreed with Norman Granz about how jazz should be produced. He thought that jazz should be Freedom Time. Well, it worked in concert, Jazz at Philharmonic. So if the drummer wanted to take three choruses or whatever, he could do it, you know, because he had the audiences there to applaud, and
right.
I didn't like that. So that was a challenge for me to go pick up where Norman left off, because he got out of the picture. I think he started Pablo Records at that point.
Okay.
But he had nothing to do with it. I did all the Verve stuff. So it was a... the first thing that I produced was Stan Getz Focus. Eddie Sauter's arrangements, and it was nothing but strings except a drummer at one point on one short thing. But Stan Getz was able to, it was all done live at Webster Hall, and he was able to, without a rhythm section, make the strings swing, if you can believe that.
Wow.
And not long after that, Charlie Bird came back from Brazil, from State Department tour, I'm sure you know about that, with all this Jobim music.
Right.
And Stan hadn't heard any of it. And we decided that we'd just hop a shuttle and go down to Washington and record with Charlie Bird's group, who did know all the music, and Stan just walked and he played, you know, genius that he was. And out of that came this one, it's called Desafinado, slightly out of tune. Thank you. I brought that master back, and I had a rather hard time with the management at MGM, who MGM bought Verve.
Okay. Right?
Because they said, you can't call that thing jazz samba, because jazz doesn't sell. And I said, well, what are you going to do if it's a jazz samba? You're going to call it a jazz waltz? I mean, don't put jazz with it. But anyway, we got through that, and it became jazz samba, and the hit Desafinado. Because of the popularity of that samba, the phrase bossa nova, of course, came from the Brazilians. They meant a new beat or new wave. They started coming up to see me at Verve.
Mm.
Jobim was the first guy to come in, you know.
Right.
He is a totally unknown composer who suddenly has a huge hit out of just Desafinado, never mind all the other stuff that came later.
Right, right.
And you know they renamed the airport in Rio?
After
Antonio Carlos Jobim Airport.
Oh.
Yep. You know, here we have Idlewild turned into JFK, and Brazil has the Antonio Carlos Jobim.
Nice.
I think that's really nice.
That's very nice.
Que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça, ela menina que vem e que passa, um doce balanço, caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado, do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado é mais um poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar. Estou tão sozinho. Ah, porque tudo é tão triste. Ah, beleza que existe. Ah, beleza que não é só minha, que também passa sozinha. Se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo sorrindo se enche de graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor. Thank you.
Now, Girl from Ipanema, that won a Grammy, didn't it?
Several. I won a Grammy. Since I'm getting to do the talk here, I'll just
beat my own
drums.
That's it, please.
Producer of Record of the Year and Producer of Album of the Year.
Okay.
And then it won, Astrid won a Grammy, and Stan, of course, won a Grammy. And Phil Ramone won a Grammy for Best Sounding.
Excellent.
And there were other categories, I can't remember. And that, of course, became a international smash.
Right.
The popularity of Bossa Nova lasted about, in Brazil, about 5 years.
Hmm.
And then it took on another phase. They say that the Bossa Nova was really aimed at the middle class and upper class,
mm-hmm.
not the working class,
right.
because the subject matter and the lyrics covered rather menial things like tall and tan, young and lovely. And it was all just
flowery.
Current, yeah, flowery, romantic stuff. And then along comes Gilberto Gil about 5 years later and said, enough of this nice stuff. let's sing some protest bossa nova.
Right. Right.
And then it took off in another direction in Brazil. But
right.
it still hung on for a while. He was from northern Brazil, which is very different anyway. The music in Ecuador, much different from the Rio.
Mm. On the subject of Brazil, on the CTI label, you worked with Diodato again on Courage, Milton Nascimento's Courage.
Oh, yeah.
Desperta, minha amada. Com mil vidas ao redor, já vem junto com o luar, e traz
that come about? How did you find out about Milton Nascimento?
Well, there was this little club south of Ipanema Beach, and Jobim took me there one afternoon, and here we are in the sauna, if you can believe this, with Astrud, Jobim, Bonfant, Diodato, Milton Nascimento, and other composers. So I met him there, and Diodato was really touting his unusual compositions, and they really were. So we brought him to New York and recorded that album. When we did Red Clay, which was just about the first thing for CTI, there was a little in between Verve and CTI. There was a CTI with A&M, Herb Alpert and Jerry Moss label.
Right.
So we did some things there, and actually I started some Wes Montgomery there. And
that would be A Day in the Life and California Dreaming?
Yeah. And you're talking about the critics love that, you know, the strings and everything.
Say very quickly, you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. This is Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. And as I mentioned earlier, the playlist for this broadcast is up on the new sugarinmybowl.org, sugainmybowl.org. You can call me at 212-209-2900 if you're not connected. 212-209-2900 if you'd like to know what you've been hearing. Or I can email you, or you can email me, actually, to request a playlist at sugar, S-U-G-A, in my bowl, at gmail.com. S-U-G-A, in my bowl, at gmail.com. Stay tuned for more Day in the Life. Thank you.
Day in the Life was the first thing we did with Wes. And we booked the date with a full string session. And by the way, it had David Nadian was a concert master for Leonard Bernstein, and he was also the contractor for all the string dates that I did, which accounts for the... He was a real disciplinarian. He wouldn't let any of the guys in the back grow easy for a minute, you know. Mm-hmm. This was Don Sobeski's arrangement. So he passes out all the parts to the string players, and then he walks over to Wes's stand and gives Wes his copy. And he walks back and he gets ready to rehearse. And I'm looking over at Wes and he's looking like, what's going on? He was really unhappy, you know. And Don walked over and said, what's wrong, Wes? He said, there are all these cats out here, these classical cats with all that music, and you're handing me, I don't read music. So we canceled the session. And Don proceeded to play the whole arrangement on the Fender Rhodes, made a tape, gave it to Wes, and he was going on the road. So he went on the road with the tape, and he rehearsed the thing. We came back with the same group and everything, mm-hmm. and did the thing just like that.
Wow.
No problem.
Wow.
So, I mean, all Wes needed was a few, he was pure ear, and he could pick anything up like that. You know?
Wow, that's excellent.
Well, we had a long stretch of really beautiful recordings from Wes Montgomery. Ironically, the last one he did was called Road Song. last couple months after that. We continued these small group ensemble recordings, and suddenly it hit me that let's try to take these guys on the road. So we got in touch with a booker and put together CTI All-Stars.
Hmm.
So we were really building a family of All-Stars, you know. If George Benson he was a leader on one date, he would play on everybody else's date, and they would just switch chairs and become whoever's album was due next. Well,
oh.
So be it.
Oh, okay.
Why don't we get together and give all the guys in the band like a real big round of applause? They've been working very, very hard, trying to keep up with everything that's going on. That's a hard job. Freddie Hubbard looking evil. Stanley looking astounded. We can sit and jam on this if you don't mind. Run here. Pretty baby.
Thank you.
So,
well, how did they all come to you to begin with? I mean, how did they all wind up?
Well, they were making good records.
Okay.
And you go, the food is better over here. Well, let's go over there. You know?
Yeah.
Well, not really. And Rudy Van Gelder, have to really put him up front too, because he was a beautiful engineer. Oh, we also had Esther Phillips on a lot of this stuff.
Yes.
Junkie walking through the twilight. I'm on my way home. I left 3 days ago, but no one seems to know I'm gone. Home is where the hatred is. Home is filled with pain. And it may not be such a bad idea if I never went home again. Stand as far away from me as you can and ask me why. Hang on to your rosary beads. Close your eyes. Watch me die. You keep saying, kick it, quit it, Lord, but did you ever try to turn your sick soul inside out so that the world, so that the world can watch you die? Home is where I live inside, white powder dreams. Home was once an empty vacuum that's filled now with my silent screams. Home is where the needle marks try to heal my broken heart. It might not be such a bad idea if I never, never went home again. Stand as far away from me as you can and ask me why. You keep saying, kick it, quit it, Lord, but did you ever try to turn your sex soul inside out so that the world, so that the world can watch you die, can watch you die, watch you die, watch you die. You say, kick it, you keep saying, quit.
Blew up and made it, and I'd grade it if I had it, but for now I keep it golden. you better stop or they get scalded. I'm hot like a skillet of grits, crush you to bits. When I look over the room and then lower the boom and think that they can defeat the man that can't be beat. I do the brushstroke clown while you drown in 3 feet. Beady beep like robots on Buck Rogers. Plus I bust 25th century rhymes, so you decline to battle anytime. At skill since I was nine. Dope lines, the only weapon that I cock, I never drop. I stop clone so Biden's never condone. From the west side, 4th Avenue crew, Joe.
We went all around the planet pitching and no one hit it.
I'm the second batter.
And she played organ.
Did she?
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know she played organ.
And she had a... Her choreography was something to behold. You know what she sounds like. Well,
yes.
she could play the organ with one finger and everybody would roar.
Wow. Well, how long did you do that? Did you do that for the run of CTI? Or?
Certainly 5 years. We had the time. Yeah.
Robert.
Actually, there are four albums recorded from that.
That was going to be my question. Was it recorded?
It was recorded. It is available on eBay or whatever.
Oh, gosh.
You know, at like $80 a copy.
No. Will it ever be reissued on CD? Well, is it available to be placed on CD? Or what's up with that?
That's a long, illegal story.
Oh, okay. Is there an abridged version of the story?
I wish there were an abridged version, but it's really deep in the bowels of Sony. So they're certainly more concerned about their PlayStation than they are about any of these esoteric jazz albums on CTI.
In one of the interviews that I read, you want to start doing a lot on the Internet. What is it that you'd like to do?
Yeah, we have a website, CTI Jazz, and it's
CTIJazz.com. Yes.
And the other thing is, from a distribution standpoint, we have all the downloading taking place. That's a big quandary for everybody because the jazz fan has a kind of a different slant on his music or her music, I think. And I don't know if it's going to be something that the jazz fan is going to pick up on, like downloading Mr. Magic for 99 cents and what do you have left, you know, put it on your iPod and go home happy.
No. You're not. Personally, well, I need something to read. I need the artwork. I need the liner notes. Well,
exactly. By the way, have you seen Pete Turner's new book?
Pete Turner did the photography for most of the CGI covers.
Yeah. It's a great book.
It
was printed in Hong Kong, and the lithography is just amazing. Quincy did the forward. I did the afterwards.
Right. And I think Ashley Kahn did the introduction.
Yeah, he did the descriptive introduction.
Okay. Yeah, that's an excellent book, The Sound of Jazz. Have you done anything with any hip-hop artists directly? Have they sort of sought you out and wanted to, like, do something?
No, but I'd be really very interested in talking to somebody. Not just any hip-hop artist, but...
Are there some that you really like?
Actually, I like Dr. Dre.
Oh, okay.
Very much. And for a while, I liked Eminem. But my first hip-hop artist was John Hendricks.
Yes.
He had a slightly different rhythm section,
yes,
but
he did.
That holds up very well. You know who was a Mouseketeer, by the way? Steve Gadd.
Really? Was he?
He was a Mouseketeer. So
get out.
I saw some old Mickey Mouse Club run-throughs, you know?
Uh-huh.
And there's little Steve Gadd dancing away. Well, he could sure dance. So what did he do? He became one of the greatest jazz drummers alive.
Right. Hey, I read somewhere that you say you have ESP. Now, was that just something you were saying, or?
No, that's true.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was at Duke University, and the father of ESP, Dr. Ryan, was teaching there. And my major was psychology, so I went in one day, and he started doing the cards behind the window and, you know, all this stuff. And what do you think I've got in my hand now?
Right.
And it turned out that I had a very strong ESP quotient.
Oh, okay.
You know, this is something you have, you don't have.
Right, right.
I very often find myself, when the phone rings, I know it's got to be.
Mm.
And it is, you know.
So do you think that you were able to use that...
Not consciously. I know what you,
okay.
I know the question. No.
You weren't able to use that in your future career moves.
No. Is this going to be a hit?
Right.
Right. No. No, I didn't do that.
Was that via Quincy? Or?
Yeah.
Oh.
Very often Quincy didn't get all of his arrangements done.
Oh.
Very often. So in this particular case, you got Bob James to write a couple of arrangements. And that's how I met Bob. And then I called him for a date after that. This was Walking in Space, the Quincy album.
Yes.
And Bob James was a real standout. He'd never been in the studio. I mean, he was on the road with Sarah Vaughan, I think, for years. Most unlikely looking jazz musician. He looked more like he should be teaching math at Harvard or someplace.
He looked really bookish.
H-E-A-B, Y-D, don't test me, don't
conversation. So now you have to be the woman of my dream. And while I'm sleeping, you be creeping rather clean. I see you hanging on the corners with the rest of your girl crew, standing by the gutter with your booty cutters. So who's the honey dip? Down with the bunny grip. Always got a plan and a scam to get some money quick. Always getting with the next man, the one with the checks and setting up a trap with the slip. I got nothing but love for you, baby.
What you got?
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah, what you
got?
Concept of smooth jazz. What do you think of it?
The programming is just unbearable. Mm. I cannot leave the radio on. If anybody turns that station on, it's been that way a long time. Mm. So formula. Well, I've been accused of producing elevator music, you know, but I'm producing music, and they're organizing music to be played back so that nobody gets bothered one way or the other. It's very professional. They change the kind of programming according to the time of day it's going to be programmed. And it's essential, it has been for so long, to have either tenor sax or a guitar is acceptable. But anybody who plays anything of an improvised substance will not make it on smooth jazz, because that will take the listener's attention away from whatever he's doing, and then that's all good, because the object is, now whether there are a lot of people like this, I think there are, they just listen to it, you know, like if I enter a room and there's any kind of substantial jazz way and not smooth jazz, I get angry about people talking.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's on the radio or whether it's in person or whatever. Because I regard a good jazz solo as telling a story without the lyric. Clear as a bell. I know exactly what that player is saying to me when he plays a great solo. But then there's some players who play in tune, who improvise. They can play, but they don't play anything. And they will get on CD 101.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to promote anything on CD 101, obviously. I grew up in an environment, a non-musical environment, but very musical, if you like country music. I couldn't stand it. And finally, when I reached maybe 11 or 12 years old, I discovered, I think it was WMCA coming out of Birdland with Symphony Sid, and it was broadcast like 12 to 3 o'clock in the morning. And I listened to that station, and I heard Symphony Sid broadcasting from the glass booth overlooking the bar in Birdland and talking about all those guys lined up having a drink with Dizzy talking to Kay Wending and Bird talking to Ray Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just, it was like a brilliant picture that Sid would paint.
Well, thank you very much, Cree Taylor, for visiting WBA. Oh, by the way, have you ever considered radio? Doing radio?
No. Maybe I should. I don't
know. Yes.
I'd rather get in the studio and record.
Yeah.
Really, you know. Joyce, it's been a fun evening here.
Thank you, Creed, for coming in. You're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. That was my conversation with Cree Taylor that originally aired in June of 2007 as part of the fifth Hip Hop Takeover. The executive producer, as it is now, was then, and still is, Ife Dancy. And I thank her for giving me a shot. It sounded so bad the first time, so it was remixed for your enjoyment this time. What you're listening to now is Bob James' Nautilus. It's on Tappan Zee Records, but it's produced by Cree Taylor. It is from 1974 release. And let's see, before that we heard Nothing But Love, Heavy D and the Boys, Nothing But Love, the title cut, Uptown, MCA Records, 1994 release. Before that we heard Freelance, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five from The Source. It's a Collector's Choice Music 1986 release. Before that we heard The Punisher, Eric B. and Rakim, Don't Sweat the Technique. It was from that recording, that release, MCA 1992. Before that we heard Take Me to the Mardi Gras, also produced by Cree Taylor on Tappan Zee Records, 1975. It featured Ralph McDonald, the late great Ralph McDonald, on that bell pattern that has been sampled. Oh, and by the way, yes, Nautilus is apparently the most sampled song. That's what I hear. But, yeah, it has been. Let's see. As I mentioned, the playlist is up on sugarmybowl.org. There is a sugarmybowl.org that has archives. You can email me at sugar, S-U-G-A, in my bowl, at gmail.com. Before that, Take Me to the Mardi Gras, we heard People Make the World Go Round. CTI All-Stars featuring Freddie Hubbard, who transitioned in, December 30th? Yeah. It's been 5 years. This music will last forever. You know, there's FreddieHubbardMusic.com. Find out more from there. It is produced and operated by Dwayne Hubbard, son of Freddie Hubbard. Let's see. So as I was saying, the CTI All-Stars was from CTI Summer Jazz at the Hollywood Bowl, 1972. Oh, this is a key part here. And you can go to sugarmybowl.org to find out the musicians who were involved in that recording, because there's so many. You know, CTI retracted everybody. Before that, we heard Come With It. It's from a 12-inch vinyl release by Ahmad Roskas and Safir, 1995 Priority Records release. It had sampled from Home Is Where the Hatred Is, written by Gil Scott-Heron. We say so long to him from last year. Esther Phillips from Home Is, the title cut. Well, actually, this is a compilation. Home Is Where the Hatred Is, The Kudu Years, 1971 to 1977. From A Whisper to a Scream was the original recording that it was released on. And 1972 Kudu Records. Let's see, let's do this. We need to get ready for... we need to get ready for La Nueva Alternativa. Before Home Is Where the Hatred Is, we heard Cherry Red, another recording from the CTR All-Stars featuring Esther Phillips. Before that, we heard Road Song, Wes Montgomery. CTI 1969 release, that's the title cut. Before that, we heard the title cut of A Day in the Life, Wes Montgomery, 1967 CTI release. The La Nueva Alternativa guys are right outside. They should be making their way in. They'll be with you soon. And before that, we heard Giro Giro, Round and Round, Milton Nascimento from Courage. It's 1969. I am looking at the woman.
she can't. She's not looking. And I'm telling her to come in. Come on in. Come on in. Hi. Happy New Year. La Nueva Alternativa folks are here. Yeah, that's Milton Nascimento from Courage, the American release on CTI Records, 1969. And as I said, please go to sugarinmybowl.org, sugarinmybowl.org, press playlist, and you will see all of this. And if you have difficulty with that, you can email me at sugar, S-U-G-A, in my bowl, at gmail.com, and I will send you a playlist. Alrighty? Have a great new year. I'll see you on the 15th, where we'll be discussing Romare Bearden with Deirdre Harris-Kelly and Professor Robert O'Mealy. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
This is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.